Okay, now we're officially starting. This is program number 606. It's July the 18th, 1983, and it's Mae Brussel in Pacific Grove, California, KAZU-FM. Did you read the morning paper about Henry Kissinger being appointed for a new panel on Central America? Did it make you angry to think his role, his responsibility in killing the head of Pakistan, of Iran, of Vietnam, of Chile, of the Congo, of the, being part of the team around the Kennedy assassination, bloodbath, Southeast Asia, Middle East, everywhere he's been. And the tragic thing is that Seymour Hersh spent 5 years, left the New York Times, to write about Henry Kissinger. He was on Phil Donahue this week. You can send for the program, or last week, saying how Kissinger and six other people decided not to tell Congress where the war was, to bypass the State Department or the Defense Department, to wiretap people for his own personal reasons, to select bombing sites, to not tell the pilots where they were going to bomb, to have a war against Cambodia so that North Vietnam would be afraid. A country not at war with us. We weren't supposed to know about it, the collusion of the news media in this terrible war. How come Henry Kissinger, at a time Seymour Hersh's book is third on the bestseller list this week, how come a living disease like that even gets in charge of South America and gets his hands on another area any worse than what he did when he was in power? Now, last week on broadcast number 605, July the 11th, I talked about the William Morris Agency that covers people like Gerry Ford, Betty Ford, Henry Kissinger, the Reagans when they're out of office, Alexander Haig. They not only get actors and actresses, but they represent book contracts into the millions. And I mentioned Henry Kissinger as one of their customers, that clique around him, Haig, Kissinger, Ford. And I talked about the murder of Vicky Morgan, and that the person who killed her, Marvin Pancoast, worked for William Morris Agency for 16 months. Now, we don't know where he was before. There's no story except a stint at the mental hospital where he met Vicky and became friends. And he goes to the William Morris Agency. This was a hard-blooded contract murder. And I said before, in order to have the expensive $20 and $30 books on our coffee table, you can't have Vicky Morgan tapes around, because then the crooks that she knew and that Alfred Bloomingdale talked about, the cabinet, the people high up in office, would be exposed. The emperors would be without clothes. So is it any coincidence that after Vicky is delivered 2 weeks to her day, Henry Kissinger is now in charge of a group in Central America? I don't think it's a coincidence. And also, as I go into the Vicky Morgan story some more, the morning paper has the stories of the increased budget, 40% boost in Latin America, 40% over what we sent, $140 million to El Salvador, $65 million to Guatemala, $20 million to Costa Rica, $9 million for covert action against Nicaragua. They didn't like the Somoza family. Isolate Nicaragua. Why the increase today? Because I think the links of the people that killed Vicky Morgan that would blackmail Ronald Reagan and the entire administration, say, Ronnie, you're too left. If you want the job, get mean. And he's going to get mean. And I think until we get all these things out in the open and find out who is on these tapes, what members of Congress, what friends, and get this disease out of the White House. He's a disease, and Henry Kissinger's a disease. Get them out and quit covering up their murderous crimes that have gone on ever since the end of World War II. There were crimes before, but now the bloodbath is getting worse. 17 families own all of El Salvador. One owned Nicaragua. We have a Christian from Ukiah that worked with Jim Jones in Guatemala. The people count for nothing. The atrocities are terrible. Get rid of them because of the things they're doing. And that's the only way, I think, and I've always believed, to change faces in Washington. Now, regarding the papers that were stolen that made Ronald Reagan president, the idea of pumping him with information was to prove that he was capable of thinking and reasoning. So they had to steal from the National Security Council. Jimmy Carter said this week, the stolen papers were the most sensitive we had. And a Mr. Popkind, a professor at the University of California who helped Jimmy Carter, says that these were widespread, the use of these papers, stealing from the every area from the Carter campaign, but also the crime scene now is taking national security papers and disseminating them to make Ronald Reagan look less than a B actor. Now, the San Francisco Chronicle has a story also in the Washington Post today, July the 18th, 1983. Two new names turn up in Carter paper probe. A man named Wayne Vallis, V-A-L-I-S, has named John Lensowski, L-E-N-C-Z-O-W-S-K-I, on the National Security Council staff, and Robert D. Leahy as being responsible for taking from the national security the papers, that, again, that made Ronald Reagan look like a statesman. Now, if you go to my broadcast, if you tape it off the air, it's great. If you don't have it, you can order back tapes. Broadcast 598, that was May 23rd. That wasn't long ago. I talked about John Lensowski. He's a young fellow, and I talked about his position with Sven Kramer. Sven is the son of Fritz Kramer, the Nazi dog that I've been chasing, the mentor behind Henry Kissinger, who's going to rule the bloodbath in Central America like he did in Southeast Asia. I talked about John Lensowski. He's the Soviet advisor that took over the position of Richard Pipes. He's 32 years old. He's never been to the Soviet Union. His philosophy, as I said on that broadcast, is you don't have to be hit by a locomotive to know it's dangerous. He is violent against the Soviet Union. He's the advisor to Ronald Reagan with links to the most vicious pro-war mongers that have ever been in any cabinet job in Washington. So who is it that turns out providing the papers, the sensitive papers, for Ronald Reagan's campaign? Mr. John Lensowski, along with the national security person. He hasn't been named yet, Sven Kramer. God forbid he would be named, but the head of the Soviet affairs today. Don't the chickens come home to roost? Have you ever noticed how few names I really have to use on this broadcast, and they keep showing up over and over again? And what did these people get? Mr. Casey had stolen papers. He became CIA director. Richard Allen, he was national security director. Mr. Lensowski becomes head of Russian affairs and gets promoted to the National Security Council. Every single one of them pilfering the agencies, sneaking behind Jimmy Carter to make Ronald Reagan look like somebody when he really is a sleazy person. Now, last year, and I always start the program with this time last year, July 19th, 1982, I talked about a lot of pertinent subjects in the news today, but two in particular. One thing that I said on the broadcast, and luckily and gratefully, Charles Spears in Texas types these up, and I refer to these to see verbatim what I said. 1 year ago this evening, I said, pieces of the assassination funding outfit are coming to light. They were coming last year. The past investigations cover more than they open up, but every once in a while, the people who cover them up have to take a peek at them, and then again, it's their responsibility to lock them up and destroy the evidence one more time. And I gave just the example of John Belushi, but last year, as things began to surface, and certainly this week, evidence is destroyed. We get a peek at the actors. And this year, July the 7th, 1983, Vicky Morgan was murdered. The brutal killing opens up a few more doors to Hollywood, to the CIA, to the game of assassinations, and the characters involved with her were related to the murder of John Kennedy's cover-up, to the Sharon Tate LaBianca murders in the Manson family, to the Robert Kennedy assassination, to SLA and the Patty Hearst that was set up by the CIA, to the murder of Jane Mansfield, to Samuel Brody, the attorney, Dorothy Kilgallen, and so forth, and we'll go into those. I said once in a while you get a peek, and 1 year later, this year, you're getting a better peek. I also said last year, on July 19th, the curious Ronald Reagan family. Ronald Reagan refused to extradite Mr. Eugene Bradley back to New Orleans for Jim Garrison's investigation, and this year and this week, we're seeing pieces of the Clayshaw-Kennedy conspiracy that were stopped when Jane Mansfield and Brody were decapitated purposely with a crash setup that involved the law office of Mr. Robert Steinberg, who has the tapes to continue to force behavior out of Ronald Reagan and the State Department. So this year, Robert Steinberg appears. He took over the law office of Samuel Brody, and we'll go into that, when Brody was murdered. Brody was murdered on the road to New Orleans, right outside of New Orleans, with Jane Mansfield, the actress. Handcuffed to his bag, to his arm, were the papers of Melvin Belli and Jack Ruby to prove to Jim Garrison of the conspiracy that existed. A car was set up, a truck was set up to murder them, and I'll give you the sources as the program goes on. And Melvin Belli could continue the lie that Jack Ruby had a one-minute epilepsy and that it was not a conspiracy to kill John Kennedy. If Jane Mansfield and Brody had arrived in New Orleans, the history of the United States from 1967 would have been different. That was just a year ago tonight that I was talking about those things. And the story is now breaking open about Vicky Morgan. No matter how the media tries to stop it, it can't, as John Ehrlichman said, it can't be put back in the tube. The toothpaste can't be back in the tube. Maybe a year or two, but not always. This week, Melvin Belli, the attorney for Jack Ruby, who would not let him on the stand to testify because he said you would incriminate yourself. This last week, I was talking about Jack Ruby and the comparison to the Vicky Morgan murder, that Jack Ruby would kill Lee Harvey Oswald to silence him so that you wouldn't know about the conspiracy, and Melvin Belli would be Jack Ruby's attorney. 1 year later, Mr. Marvin Pancos kills Vicky Morgan to silence the conspiracies and the dirty things that are going on in Washington. And the former law partner and associate of Mr. Pancos, of the attorney for this case, who stepped right in, Mr. Steinberg, is an associate and was in the office with Melvin Belli. So it's a few years later and the same cast of characters. Now, when Vicky Morgan was murdered and her head was cracked open with a baseball bat, and I'll continue to be very visual about that till I get it out of my head or till you get it into your head, it was number 10 on the news that night, on the evening news, ABC, NBC. The news goes, Mr. Stone left for Central America. Mr. Bush came home from Europe. A hijacker surrendered in Paris. A hijacker went to Cuba. The rural areas are growing by 11%. As long as we have various people traveling all over the country, the emissaries, it makes news. One goes here and one goes there. And then number 10 was the news. Now, there was a picture in London Sunday Times dated July the 10th of Marvin Mitchelson laying on a bed, smiling. This is 3 days after his former client was clobbered. 3 days after, he has a picture there. Enter stage left, the quotable Mr. Palamony. Now, when she was killed, instead of having a news conference, he did say in words, she took many secrets to her grave, and I know what they are. I was her attorney. He's in London, and I think it's important, the London scene with the Vicky Morgan story. Vicky was in London with Bernie Kornfeld, and I don't know how many other times in London, but it's like, I delivered the corpse. She was dead 3 days, and he's laying on a bed just smiling, totally out of context for a man who... He represented her until the president of the United States called him to Washington, D.C. with Morgan Mason and said, look, cut the case. 3 weeks later, he stopped being her lawyer. She's dead, and he is half of a page devoted to him in the London Sunday Times. Now, the story about Jane Mansfield was in the Los Angeles Herald, November the 30th, 1979, a James Bacon story. It was about a fellow named Greg Tyler, who was a secretary for Jane Mansfield, and he also was a researcher for Bobby Kennedy. And he said that Sam Brody shared law offices with Melvin Belli. Dig this. Sam Brody's an attorney in Los Angeles who shares offices with Melvin Belli, who's Jack Ruby's attorney. Sam Brody was a close friend of Jane Mansfield. And in 1967, a car accident was arranged, a truck auto collision. A trailer was placed for the collision and handcuffed to the wrist was that attaché case with the information about Melvin Belli's dealings with Jack Ruby and who killed Lee Harvey Oswald. Now, take this a few years later. This is 1967. Ronald Reagan in 1967, as I mentioned a year ago and a few weeks ago, would not extradite Mr. Eugene Bradley to New Orleans. And as a result, and because part of the killing of Brody and Jane Mansfield, Jim Garrison's investigation, and along with the CIA and tampering with other witnesses, really couldn't get off the ground. It's years later now, and Ronald Reagan's in trouble. And if you read the book on the Ronald Reagans and their newest, it's a new book, Exposing Them, Make Believe. And it tells how they came home from London and the conference, the summit conference last year from Rome and London. And they were frantic because the Vicky Morgan story was breaking and that the Bloomingdale's were the epitome of Americana. And the scandal could break because she was going to do a book and it would involve their whole group. That's a direct quotation, their whole group. And just about that time, we'd have to get the dates, is when Mr. Marvin Pancoast began to work for Music Corporation of America. They were frantic. This was in the early summer of 82. And Vicky Morgan gets her head split, and Jane Mansfield gets decapitated. And there were like 100 other people off in along the way, but I think you're getting the picture. And I'm going slowly. I have a lot of material, but I want you to get it clear. Now, I saw Nightline when I came home from broadcast here at World Watchers last week. I saw Nightline and Robert Steinberg, and I felt he was a clone of Roy Cohn. I felt this guy has so much expertise, that cat and mouse game, he's no slipshod lawyer. It turns out that he's in the law office with Vincent Bugliosi of the Manson case, and we'll go into that office. He graduated from Loyola Law School, which is funded heavily. It's a Catholic law school. He went to UCLA, funded heavily by Patrick Frawley. And if you want a background on Patrick Frawley, get the book Power on the Right by Bill Turner. And it tells you about Ed Butler, who worked with Lee Harvey Oswald, Robert Morris. All my favorite characters are in that particular book. And he was a strong supporter of this college, and the Steinberg comes out of that particular law school that was involved with Ronald Reagan's campaigns from the beginning of his career, the Christian Crusades, Roy Cohn, the Joe McCarthy characters, all of them, William Buckley, the entire team, were thick with Patrick Frawley. Frawley was born in Nicaragua, incidentally, but he graduated from Loyola, and then he had law office. He's Robert K. Steinberg. There's two in Los Angeles. One is Robert B. This is Robert K. Steinberg. And he worked in the law office of Samuel Brody. This is from the LA Times, July 17th, if you want the article written by Edwin Chen, C-H-E-N. He worked with Samuel Brody, and Brody died with Jane Mansfield, and he took over and inherited the law practice and then works with Melvin Belli. Isn't that a cute trick? A partner, associate of Belli, in the office of Brody. Brody is murdered. Steinberg gets the clients. Does he also get the file on John Kennedy? Of course, Melvin Belli and Jack Ruby and what was so precious that never was received at the other end. You know, the Vicky Morgan tapes could be missing. The diaries of these various people are taken. They're saying, where are three tapes? But nobody is talking about the book she wrote and the notes that she's been keeping all along. Now, he's also associated with F. Lee Bailey, who worked with the Los Angeles Police Department with the Patty Hearst case that covered up the Harrises, the Scotts, the Carmichael Bank. He represents Doug Calley at the My Lai massacre that Seymour Hersh had exposed. This Steinberg is associate of Belli and F. Lee Bailey. He quickly wanted to get in the John DeLorean case, but they pushed him off because Joseph Ball got the job. Joseph Warren commissioned Ball. Ball was the attorney for John Ehrlichman at the time of Watergate. He was on the Warren Commission with Melvin Belli and Leon Jaworski. He represented John Ehrlichman with Watergate story and the entering of Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office in Beverly Hills. Mr. Steinberg is a member of the Republican Central Committee, registered Democrat, but sustaining member of the Republican Central Committee, and he said on, this is a Los Angeles Times story, the tapes may become a political weapon, very valuable if the president runs for re-election. Now, he says to the Democrats, but the Watergate story wasn't as valuable to George McGovern or any Democrat. The Democrats voted for Nixon. I mean, the Democrats are like political eunuchs, but the Republicans pushed out Nixon and got in Haig and Kissinger to higher powers and Nelson Rockefeller's vice president. It's the Republicans that use these things. It isn't the Democrats. Democrats wouldn't even have to know what to do. But with this kind of information, can the far right, because the Bugliosi office works with the far right, the Manson was a Minuteman Nazi operation. Now, Robert Steinberger supported Mayor Sam Yorty for a campaign and was appointed to the Animal Regulation Commission. You can almost laugh at that one. Yorty was the mayor who said immediately when Robert Kennedy was shot, Sirhan was a communist, his brother's car was parked in front of a leftist home or bookstore or nightclub, therefore Sirhan's a communist, and covered up the Greek Orthodox Church, the CIA, and the links to the Sirhan family. He was a former associate of F. Lee Bailey, so you have Melvin Belli and George, you have Ball, and you have Warren Commission, and F. Lee Bailey and the whole gang that have worked with these conspiracies, and Vincent Bugliosi, of course, who prosecuted as a district attorney the Manson case. Vincent Bugliosi in Los Angeles and former Sheriff Peter Pitches and Evel Younger, who was the DA in L.A. and then the Attorney General in California, and Ed Davis, the Chief of Police, now a senator in California, those four men literally control the corpses, the bodies, the crime syndicate, the CIA, the FBI, Murder Incorporated, in their heads, and anyone associated with them knows where the bodies are buried and can parlay them for their own use. And the San Francisco Chronicle, July 12, 1983, Mr. Robert Steinberg shares the law office with Vincent Helter Skelter Bugliosi. Bugliosi is a very important man because of the Charles Manson case. And also, Mr. Steinberg represents Virginia Graham, who was the key prosecution witness in the Manson case. And if you think the Manson case was prosecuted right, guess again. Now, Bugliosi wrote a book called Helter Skelter, and in there it mentions Joseph Ball, who saw Manson and said he was competent to represent himself. He's got his rockers, okay? Marvin Pancos won't have his rockers, but he did have. And then he lists in the biography a quick name of the aliases. He says Charles Manson, he described as the leader of the family and the mass murderer. But under Mr. Watson, he says Charles Watson, that's the Boy Scout and the Eagle Scout and the church singer, the devout Christian from Tenton, Texas. He said, under his description, involved in the Tate and LaBianca murders. Squeaky Fromm, just recently in the Houston Post, this was March the 10th, 1983, she said Charlie wasn't in the houses. He didn't kill Mrs. Tate's daughter. Charlie didn't move us around. Now, there are some common denominators between Patrick Frawley and Ed Butler and the Christian Crusade and the people that were trying to make the Manson story a hippie or a black series of murders. And one of the interesting things that I always bring up, there's several items. One was the glasses on the floor that have never been identified who they belong to. And there was a news story this week that somebody heard and called me that said Marvin Pancos was in the Manson killings, or he could have been in the Manson killings. They didn't write down the station. They called me. But in some way, Pancos was linked to the Manson family, and I'm wondering what this would be. And the second point is that Tex Watson came from Texas, and he was with a Beverly Hills attorney 20 times before the murders ever took place, and he never committed a crime. And I've mentioned this many, many times. Was he in the office of Robert K. Steinberg? He couldn't be. Bugliosi was the DA. Was he with those people? And see, the point is that Tex Watson, who did the murders, all the murders, is a priest in San Luis Obispo and expects to get out of prison, and Manson, the fall guy, never will. Now, in Bugliosi's book, Helter Skelter, just before I came to the station or left the house today, I hit on two pages that describe the Vicki Morgan case, because there's details that are too bloody, I won't do them tonight, of what Pancos said about the killing. But this was the prosecutor, Vincent Bugliosi, asking Sue Atkins, did you have any feeling towards them, any of these people? She said, I didn't know any of them, so how could I have any emotion without knowing them? As a matter of fact, I didn't have any mercy for Sharon Tate at all. I was doing the right thing, and I know it's right because I felt good when I did it. And they said, how do you feel about committing murder? And she said, I would do anything for God, including murder. That's right, if I believed it was right. And then she accounts another incident of next page about Sharon Tate. She says, I didn't relate to her. I didn't think of them as people. And he asked them, well, they talk, don't they talk like people? She says, they didn't even look like people. I don't respond to them. Sharon Tate was like a store mannequin. And he said, have you ever heard a mannequin talk? She said, no, sir, but like an IBM machine. She kept begging and pleading and pleading and begging. And I got sick of listening to her. So I stabbed her, and the more she screamed, the more I stabbed. And the excuse for Marvin Pencoast was, I got tired of listening to her. He could have left the house. He lived there 3 weeks. He wasn't chained. He wasn't locked in a closet. All I had to get up and walk out. So what was he tired of listening to? Now, the LA Star on October the 5th, 1982, tells about Vicki Morgan living with Bernie Kornfield in Beverly Hills for 6 months while she was with Alfred Bloomingdale. And later, but not to digress, I'll go into the Bernie Kornfield Robert Vesco connections to William Casey and Richard Allen and the shenanigans that have gone on with them for the whole past era in Hollywood and elsewhere. But she was with Bernie Kornfield, and Mr. Alfred Bloomingdale used to come for visit her. And she took lengthy trips with Bernie Kornfield to Paris, Rome, and London. They got along beautifully, and Alfred was there. Another story, July 15th, by Eric Malnick, M-A-L-N-I-C, in the L.A. Times, on the Valley Orgies. A girl stepped forward by the name of Cindy Stonehouse, and she said there was group sex and orgies semi-weekly San Fernando Valley, and she was a friend of both the attorney, Robert K. Steinberg, and Marvin Pencoast. She's known both of them for a long time. Steinberg as an attorney and Pencoast as a friend for years. And Pencoast seemed to be a procurer for these sex parties. And he called her, do you want to come out to the Valley? There's very important people. Now, she said it was 2 years ago. This is just before he begins to get his cancer, Alfred Bloomingdale. And the age group, according to the tapes, Mr. Steinberg, the average age is between 50 and 70 years old, these six men. And the women, of course, were much younger and not their wives, of course. But that would fit in with the long friends and supporters of Ronald Reagan. And she, as I say, was a friend of both. And she was the person, Cindy Stonehouse, who told the attorney Steinberg, go to see Pencoast in jail. And he went to see him and gave him some dimes. And then with those dimes, he called the woman who brought the tapes to his house on a Saturday night. There aren't many law offices open on Saturday night. It's like Lee Harvey Oswald going to the embassy in the Soviet Union on Saturday. And it's filled with a select group of people written up in Who's Who in the CIA that were there. Now, Cindy Stonehouse said in the L.A. Times, July 17th, when Marvin Pencoast starts talking, it is going to blow the lid right off this town. Remember, we did a broadcast I mentioned a while ago, is John DeLorean going to deliver Hollywood? And these people aren't far and separated from each other. But I don't know what will happen to Pencoast, but the lid is popping quite a bit at this time. Another story in the L.A. Star last October on the 12-year relationship with Vicki, and this is Alfred Bloomingdale, 5 to 15 times a day he would call, always left a number where they would reach. She worked for Reagan's headquarters in California, helped support Ronald Reagan, and knew everything about the contributions to the campaign and the appointments in the kitchen cabinet and so forth. Another interesting story that was in the newspaper, July the 12th, 1983, the L.A. Herald. She was in Washington at the time of the inauguration. Bloomingdale would visit Vicki Morgan daily, indulge her with gifts. When Reagan was inaugurated, he had her come to Washington. She was stashed in a hotel. I think, if you'll pardon the expression, Alfred got off on that sort of thing. Now, I'm wondering if she also went to England at the time of the wedding of Prince Charles and Lady Di, because he took her everywhere, and she was in London. And we'll continue in about 1 minute some more on this broadcast.